I want to discuss three very basic halachas that I imagine each one of us encounter to some extent every single Shabbos with regards to Kiddush. Three very important halachas, some of which we may know, some of which we do not know. But the three halachas are as follows. Number one is, are you allowed to drink before the Mevarech? So let's say you're the husband, you're the father of the house, and you say a bracha. Are your children or your wife allowed to drink before you drink? That's one question. Or do they have to wait for you to drink before they're allowed to drink? That goes along with also eating bread. Are they allowed to eat challah before you, even from the challah? That's question one, having to wait for the Mevarech. That's the main focus of this particular sugya in the Gemara Pesachim. Question two we're going to discuss is, you have to drink from the kosher bracha. There's a concept, different people have different minhagim, some people make them up, others have a certain tradition about drinking from the wine that the kosher bracha that the Mevarech used. Should he pour out the wine first, or should he drink it first and then pour out the wine, or maybe they don't have to even drink from his wine, they could drink from their own cups in front of them. So that's the second question of, do they have to drink from the kosher bracha? And question three is, in a situation, this does come up, if let's say the person saying the bracha speaks before eating or drinking, or let's say who are being yotzei, you speak before you've eaten, is that going to be a hefsek? So those are the three questions. Again, drinking before the Mevarech, do you have to drink from his cup? And number three is, how does speaking interruptions work with these halachas? So the Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Kuf Vav Amud Aleph that this is the source of Zachas Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho, that Zachreu Al HaYayin, that Kiddush should be said on wine. And the Gemara says, I only know by Yom. It says, Zachar says Yom HaShabbos, so Adhina Balayla. So the Gemara says, we learn both halachas that you have to make Kiddush both by Yom and Balayla. Fine. So the Gemara tells a Maisa that one time Rav Ashi was Iklai L'Mechuzah. He was visiting a city called Mechuzah and Amru. They said to him, L'Kadesh Lan Mar Kiddush Rabbah. They were Mechabit Rav Ashi to make Kiddush for the entire shul, for the entire kilo. Please say Kiddush Rabbah. Havilei, they gave him a cup, shawine, and Savar and Rav Ashi came from a place where they didn't use this terminology called Kiddush Rabbah. So Savar, my new Kiddush Rabbah. What is Kiddush Rabbah? What's this big Kiddush? I'm used to saying Bari Pro Goffin and that's it. Some have the custom of, you know, saying Al-Kain Beirach before him, Shamru, Zachas Yom HaShabbos, different hakdamas people like to say before him. That's simply just to add some kavod, some chashivas to it, but those are not required. In fact, when I was in Marsha Kolel, but always in Marsha Kolel in the summers, so Reb Mordechai Willig, the way it would work is, we would have Kiddush before, right after davening. So it was a big, it was a full kolel, people learning, over 100 people probably, a bachram, they're learning. So after davening, we all go downstairs. We'll be upstairs probably learning still, and then when everything's all set up, he'd come down. So we're all sitting at our place waiting. We'll start walking down. He's got a very loud, booming voice. Come down the stairs and start saying, Vishomu b'nei selas ha-shabbos, la'sos ha-shabbos, la'sos ha-shabbos, and walking to the place we're sitting, saying out loud the Vishomru, and Mamash, he timed it perfectly. The moment he gets to his seat, he gets it, sits down, and says, Borei Pir Guffin, to tell us that we don't say, we don't walk around when we daven, when we say Kiddush. What was the point? He's teaching us that all those psukim we say before him are very, very nice, but that's not part of Kiddush itself. That's why he walked saying it, and then just to give some level of chashivas, but all you have to do is say the bracha in the place where you are. Everything else is really just a nice little fancy psukim. So what does Gemara mean when it says Kiddush Rabbah? Rav Ashi, please mechabit us with Kiddush Rabbah. He didn't know what that meant. So Rashi points out, what was his havamina? Did they mean I should say a whole Friday night Kiddush again? That he wasn't sure. So what did he do? So Amar Michti, he analyzed in his head, Kol HaBrachos Kulan Bari Pir Gafen, all other brachos, all other kiddushes I say on Shabbos morning is simply a Bari Pir Gafen and maybe some psukim before him. Amri Bereisha, so he said, I'll say that first, I'll start with every bracha starts with Bari Pir Gafen. Meaning under the chuppah, you say Bari Pir Gafen first, and then you say the bracha of Erison. Havdalah, we say Bari Pir Gafen, and then we say Besamim and Eish and Havdalah. So the Bari Pir Gafen is always the first bracha of a series of brachas. So let me say that first. So V'agid Bey, so he said the bracha, and he's kind of extending it. He was extending the bracha a little. I'm not sure how he did that exactly, but he did some type of extension. I was actually at a chasen a couple of years ago, and Rev. Itchemeyer Morgenstern from Breslov was there, and he had the first bracha under the chuppah, which is Hagafen. And it was the longest bracha I've ever heard, longer than like the last bracha, the seventh bracha. So he said a very long, with a lot of kavanas as he said the bracha. Each word was slowly, carefully, precise. So Rav Ashi was extending this bracha for a while, it seemed. And then when he was finished, he chazi elahu sabi, saw a certain zakin, an old man who was there. The gochin v'shasi, he started to lean down and drink from his coast shabracha. So he understood, So he says, Kari Anafshe, he called himself, in the humblest of ways, Hachacham Eina Barosha. I'm a Chacham, because I was able to see what was going on. I was able to probe the situation here and realize that now is the time to drink. All they wanted was a guffin. They called it Kiddush Rabba. It was a euphemism of some sort. So Hachacham Eina Barosha, once he saw the Zakein drinking, he drank as well. Fine, that's the Maisa. So this is just a great Maisa where you see the greatness of the Rishon, how they're able to extract something so interesting, a piece of halacha, from a very, it's a very nice story. But what's the halachic, relevance of this? The Tosa says, we see, how is the Zakin able to drink? Isn't there a concept that you can't drink before the Mevarech? Rav Ashi was where he was holding it. He wasn't sure what to do. He was doing a little pause and he saw the guy drinking. Tosas asks, how is it possible? The Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Mem Zayin that Ein Hamesubim Rashayin, they're not able to taste Ad Sheyitum Hamevarech. There's a lacha that you can't taste before they taste. So how is the Zakin able to drink the wine before I drank the wine? Before Rashi drank the wine? So what's the svar before we get to the answer? What's the logic why the Mevarech has to taste beforehand? Because when you say a bracha, the bracha has to be chal. If I'm saying shehakol niyeh b'dvaro, if I don't drink, the bracha isn't chal on anything. So even though you drink, it doesn't work for me. So if my bracha doesn't work for me, it certainly can't work for you. If I'm saying a bracha that I'm puzzled, let's say the following example. Let's say I'm saying a bracha in a place in the bathroom. Now I can't say a bracha in the bathroom. It's a place that's where I'm not dressed properly, I'm saying a bracha. So that's not allowed. That bracha doesn't work for me. Will it work for you if you hear me? If you're outside in a place and you're dressed properly, you're outside the bathroom, you hear me from a window saying a bracha, if it doesn't work for me, it can't work for you either. So the svar is, if I'm saying a bracha and I'm not drinking, that means the bracha wasn't chal for me, it can't be chal for you either. So I understand why the Gemara says that the mevarich has to drink first, the bracha is chal, the bracha is now in this world, and now you could piggyback off that bracha. But if I didn't drink yet, how is the Zakin able to drink first here? So what's the answer? So there are a few answers in the Rishonim. So what Tosis answers is, Tosis writes, there's a difference between eating bread and the drinking wine. There's a fundamental difference. The halacha that I have to eat first only applies to bread. But with regards to Kiddush is different. This is what we discussed last week. Kiddush, we say in theory, I don't have to drink Kiddush even. I could say bracha bori per gafen and have my child drink it for me. I could have you drink it for me. Something's unique about the bracha of Hagafen that it's separated from the actual drinking. So that's why the Gemara allows the Zakein to drink first, because you remember, Birchas Hagafen is a Birchas HaMitzvah, really. And the drinking is really an afterthought. So that you could divorce between the drinking and the bracha. That's only by Kiddush. When it comes to eating bread, Motzi on the bread is only a Birchas HaNenen. And if I don't eat the bread, it doesn't work for me, then it can't work for you. So that's the distinction.
So it can work on Shabbos, but during the week, if you just say, break for a guffin over a glass of wine.
Exactly. Exactly right. Correct. Exactly right. So it wouldn't work for any of us.
Sanctification of Shabbos, not about drinking the wine.
Exactly right. So the weekday would be a great way to prove this point, that the Hagafen would not work during the week, only on Kiddush, where together. Sanctity of Shabbos, it's in context of a mitzvah. So therefore, what comes out from this Tosos, that a Zakin, you can drink before I drink, by Kiddush. But you can't eat before I eat. So that's Tosos' suggestion. Tosos and Brachos, however, makes a different suggestion. He says, no, not true. He says the Zakin wasn't actually drinking. The Zakin was a Chacham. He understood also what's going on. He knew Rav Ashi came from some distant town. He knew they didn't call Kiddush Rabbah. So he understood that Rav Ashi was hesitating for a reason. He didn't know what to do. So Zakin did a tova. He didn't want to embarrass him. So Rav Ashi knew drink. He didn't want to embarrass him. So he did it a roundabout way. And he started to pretend like he was drinking to indicate to Rav Ashi what he should do. Now this is a very very important concept in sensitivity. You know, oftentimes we see people doing things wrong, saying things that are wrong. You don't want to be direct, especially kids. You don't want to embarrass your children. Don't do this, do that. The best way to show chinuch is by showing them what to do, not telling them what to do. So one of the things I've experienced in my own learning is, sometimes you learn with people who are more advanced than you, or just maybe know more than you, or just that particular sugya they know more than you. So as all of us are growing into learning, we don't always know how to pronounce every single word. We mispronounce them. They don't know kudos here. Aramaic's a strange word, even Hebrew words, even psukim. So I've learned with one person before who was more advanced than me many years ago, and I had pronounced a word wrong. Now, he didn't correct me, oh, it's this way, I don't remember what the word was, but he didn't say, oh, it's this way, it's not that way, he ignored it. But a little while later in that Harusa, he was reading that line, and it seemed to me, on purpose, but not letting me know it was on purpose, he read that same exact line, but he pronounced the word correctly. And that registered with me, that, oh, that's how the word should be pronounced, and he didn't embarrass me, didn't make me feel uncomfortable either. That's a way to show a person that what to do in the correct way, as opposed to telling them the way of showing them. And that really resonated with me, as you could see. It's very important, that level of sensitivity. So in fact, the Zakin wasn't drinking. He was pretending to drink, laharos lo maisa, to show him how to paskin. So in the end of the day, according to this opinion, you cannot drink before the Mevarech. The Zakin wasn't actually drinking. He was just showing him what he should be doing. Okay. Now, this is a third opinion of the Miri. I'm not quite sure the understanding of this, but the Miri says, normally a person is not allowed to drink before the Mevarech, but when it came to a Zakin Muflag, a really older man, so then we're Cholkin Lo Kavod, we give a Kavod that he would allow him to drink. So in other words, really Mikra, then you are allowed to drink. It's just inappropriate. If you're at my house, so to start eating or drinking before me, when the chillin comes, you give it to the father, the house, the Baal Bayis to have first. You give him the meat, you give him the chicken first to take. That's the nice thing to do. So you shouldn't be drinking until I've started to drink first. Not because halachically you're allowed to. It's a question of midos and derek aris and kavim. But when it comes to a zakin muflag, when there's an older man there, you give him to drink. So like in my house, the way we work in terms of cutting the challah, the way we cut the challah up is, the first piece at the end I just cut, move to the side, and the second piece there I cut, I split my wife in half, that first piece, so we first get from the first cut, and then all the other ones I cut down the line, and then we send it around the table. But if they're going to be my parents there, or my in-laws there, or someone older there, I will give myself my wife first, and the next piece I'll cut and give it to them, and only then will I cut the rest of the pieces for my kids. So that's an Indian of kavod. In theory, you could even give them the first piece before me. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll cut the first two slices there to cut both and give them to my wife, myself, and whoever's next to me at the same time. That's what's called cholkin lo kavod. Not an issue of halachically wrong or right. It's a question of just showing respect to someone older than you are. So what comes out from all this is that there's a machlokas in the Rishonim. In the end of the day, should the person, is someone else allowed to drink before the Mevarech? That's what the question is, and the Rishonim argue this. So what's the halacha? How do we paskin? So if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch writes, this is in Simen Reish Ayin Aleph, at the end of Simen Reish Ayin Aleph in Hilchos Shabbos, this is talking about the halachas of Kiddush. Shulchan Aruch writes that Lo Yitamu HaMesubin Kodem Sheyitam HaMekadesh, a straight Shulchan Aruch. That one, the mesubin, those, the guests who are sitting at the table, whether it be a wife, whether it be children, whether it be friends, they should not taste anything until sheyitom hamekadesh, until I am saying kiddush, until I've tasted for my wine. Imheim, now this is the important qualification. Imheim zukukin l'choso, if they need my kos, which means what? If I have the kos that they're going to be drinking from as well, so then they certainly shouldn't be drinking from my cup before I drink from my cup. I'm holding it. The kid shouldn't grab from my cup and give it. I had some company over a couple years ago. So when we have company over, so I sit at one end, my wife sits at the other end, and then everyone in between. So I want my wife to have the first piece of challah with me. So I signaled to one of my kids to come over, one of my younger kids to come over, and I cut the first piece, I gave it to my, I ate one, I gave one to him to bring to my wife, and he took it, and he ate the piece himself. he didn't chop that he was supposed to take it to his mother to eat. So it was very cute. So you shouldn't be grabbing the kos, zekukin l'chusa koso. If you need my cup, my becher wine, of course you shouldn't drink until I drank from it first. Why? Sheshofech mimenu l'kosa shebiyodam reikonim o pugumim. They're holding empty cups, or they're holding wine that's pugum. What's yain pugum? Yain pugum is wine that someone drank from yesterday, the day before him. You can't make kiddush or havdalah on yain pugum. Again, if I have a cup and I drink the wine, the remaining is called Yayin Pagum. And in order to fix that, you need to pour fresh wine in. So the situation here, says the Shulchan Aruch, is everyone has standing around with Yayin Pagum. They can't drink this for the Kiddush. Or they're empty cups. So you need my cup, my fresh cup of wine, to pour into all your cups. So that's when you can't taste until I've tasted first, because you need my cup to make your wine into good wine. If you each have your own cup of wine, which aren't pagum, you have a fresh bottle of grape juice that poured into your cups, you don't need me. Then Rashayin Lishos Kolim Shiyishta Makadesh, you are allowed to drink before I drink from the cup. So like in my house, I drink wine, my kids have grape juice, of course. So they have their own cups of grape juice in front of them. So they don't need to drink, they don't have my wine. When I say the bracha, they are actually allowed to drink before I drink. I tell them not to, however, just out of respect and derech eretz. But mitzad halacha, they are allowed to drink before I drink because they don't need my cup of wine.
To make a cup unpugum, any bit of new wine in there, or do you have to fill it?
Right, any bit of new wine.
Anything.
Yeah, any bit. There's actually interesting halacha. Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? Is that considered tikkun? Right now, my yayin pogum is disqualified from using for Kiddush. So can I pour the fresh bottle of wine in to make it pug? Or is it, let's say, hachana? Let's say it's the from Friday night, I'm allowed to for Shabbos morning. But let's say Shabbos morning, I'm going to use it next for Havdalah. Is that a problem of hachana? Now, I'm thinking about this right now. I haven't thought about this before. But in terms of yayin pogum, making it unpugum, if you will, if you make it, if you're fixing it on Shabbos, they actually bring down here in the Dirshu that you're allowed to do this even on Shabbos, because So he says, based on the idea of there's an opinion out there, we don't pass in this way, there's an opinion out there that you have to put most wine in. I mean, if you have wine here, let's say a third of the coast, you need to put rov. Like what you're suggesting. We don't pass this way?
Because we read it in Gemara.
Yeah. You put a lot more.
That an empty cup is considered pugum
right.
Once you drink out of it.
So you need to put a lot in. If you need to put a lot of fresh wine in, that's called bittel barov. That's more of a significant bittel. That's not allowed. But if you assume a tiny bit's enough, you're not really being mevatel. A tiny bit of wine is just like washing out the cup, and therefore that's not considered tikkun. Even though in the end you could use it now, it's not called a procedure of fixing something. It's like washing out the cup, because it's dirty, and therefore we paskin, you are allowed to do it on Shabbos. I don't know, I'm just raising this question now, but are you allowed to do it Shabbos morning if the next time you're going to be using it is for Havdalah? That might be a question of Hachana. That's number one. But I would say as follows. Again, I'm not paskin this way. In my house, I do. After Shabbos morning, I do pour wine back into my Kiddush cup and then pour it back in the wine. Why do I think it's allowed? Because there is a Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, this is again off tangent, but we're getting there anyways. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, anything that you do, not b'toras hachana, but you do because it's normal. That's not called preparing. Now, when you finish playing a game, my kids know they clean up when they finish a game. So is that considered hachana to make life easier for them when Shabbos is over? No. I'm not preparing to make Shabbos easier. I'm not doing hachana. My kids, they take a game out, they open it up, they play it, and then they put it back together, and they clean up. That's just the derech. That's normal. Hachana is, if you're trying to save time because you're running out to a simcha matzah Shabbos, you're running to try to do something matzah Shabbos, I want to save time now, that's hachana. Now, you have to be very careful how to apply that. But if, again, the mentality is because this is how I normally do things, so then one would be allowed to do it. It wouldn't be bechinas hachana.
Can you apply that to cleaning up the shalosh at a table at home? Because that's normally, you wouldn't just leave the table with tons of things.
Possibly. Rav Shlomo Zalman says this. It happens a lot. The practice is that people don't clean up, unless it's going to bring bugs. The practice is not. But often, a boy comes back from yeshiva, he finally learns the concept of shalosh shudis, and so suddenly now the mother learns this thing that this is shalosh shudis, what's this third meal we have now? And now you come home, you bring your friends home, you make a huge mess, and you leave it out to who's cleaning this up after? A lot of fights happen because of this. So what do you do about this? So if there's a heter that, of course, that the children should clean up the mess if the mother's going to be upset. Why? Because it takes away from her Shabbos. You don't have to, if the point is not to prepare for Shabbos, the point is to make your Shabbos enjoyable right now. If it's going to bother you that your beds are, messed up, it's going to stare your Shabbos, that's not hachana. That's actually a kiman Shabbos right now. So if your mother's going to have a fit because you're leaving a big mess every single day with your 15 friends after Shal Shudas, you should clean up to make your mother happy. That's a keem in Shabbos. That's not called a hachana. But the practice is, if that's not a situation, unless the wife or mother's upset, then we typically leave the Shal Shudas as is and we clean up afterwards. Either way, what comes out here, a very important halacha, that if each child or each person at the table has their own cup, you don't need to wait for me to drink it. They could actually drink it before I drink it. It just outs kavod or derech eretz. They should probably wait. That's all. But mitzvah halacha, there's no problem.
Is there any kind of understanding of why it works to put the new stuff in there to make it unpugged? When you fill up the cup, and I read that in the Gemara, right. I understood that. I said, oh, it's considered not complete when it's not full, so it's considered right. Pugum. That I kind of understood. But it almost, yeah. Is it a tumah thing?
It's a good question. I'm not sure the mechanism. I don't know. Maybe we'll get into it. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Let's now go to second halacha. Halacha 2. Is there an inyan to take from my kosher bracha and to pour it to all of your kosher brachas? Is there such a concept? Or is it enough for you to have your own cup? I say kiddush. Or kiddush is chal. On all the other cups that are in front of you. So the Shulchan Aruch addresses this question. Before you even get to the Shulchan Aruch, though, the Rishonim do address this question. The Tosafot already points out from this Beis HaNei Yerushalmi that what's the case in the Gemara here? The case was Rav Ashi was saying Kiddush, and now the Zaken was Gachin Vashasi. He went to lean to drink, which implies he had his own cup. He wasn't waiting for Rav Ashi to pour into his cup. He had his own cup to drink from, which implies that you do not have to drink from the kos shel bracha of the Mekadesh. That's the raya from this Gemara. And the Rush brings this as well. But then he said there's no raya. Maybe what Gacha means...
answer is the first one? You don't have to drink?
This is a different question. This is a question of...
But it's the same answer.
No, this is a different question. The question is, do you have to take the wine from the Mekadesh? Not about drinking. Who drinks first. Where does the yayin come from?
So once you drink first, it doesn't have to come from him. Isn't it the same answer?
Well, no, to bring this proof from that ma'isa, you can learn two different halachas. Two different halachas, though. Halacha one is that you could drink beforehand, and then halacha two is you don't have to have the wine from the Mekadesh. So the Rush is, no, there's no rye from this Gemara. Gachin v'shasi doesn't mean he was leaning to drink. Gacha means he was extending his cup, please pour into my cup. That's what he was doing here. And then he was going to drink it. We don't know Gacha meant to bring it to his mouth, or bring it to the Mavarech. That's where Vashi said. Vashi said, the Baruch HaBoy Per Gachin, and then the old man put his hand, his cup out to take, oh, you want some? Sure, let me give you some. So he did need to take the wine from the Mekadesh. So there is no proof from this Gemara that, we don't know either way, it's still an open question whether one should take the wine from the Mavarech or not take the wine from the Mavarech. Two ways to interpret the Gemara. So how do we pass it? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, this is the very last sif of Reish Ayin Beis. The Gemara's, the halacha is, Ein tzarech lishpoch mikos ha-Mekadesh lekos as yayin shilfnei ha-Mesubim. One does not need to drink from the Mekadesh, you don't need to pour from the Mekadesh to the other cups. Unless my wine was pugim, so you need my fresh wine from the Mekadesh to unpugim yours, if you will. But if yours is already fresh grape juice or wine from the bottle, you don't need my cup. You drink your cup, I drink my cup. You don't need that. It's completely fine. I had a suda with a shechter a few weeks ago, and he was making kiddush. I wasn't sure, you don't want to like do anything wrong or right. You just kind of sit there and wait to see what he does. So he's saying the Shamar. I don't remember if he said Vishamar or whatever he was saying before, and he interrupted before the bracha. He says, "Nu, everyone take some wine from the cup. Nu, should take it." So as we're taking, he's saying the bracha of Agafen, and as we're trying to pour it out, he wasn't going to give us any of his cup. He was saying, "My bracha is chal on the wine that's here in the cup, and you drink your own." There's no Indian to pour it out, because the Shulchan Aruch says that it's only if your wine is pogum, do you need my kos shel bracha? But if it's not, so then drink your own wine. My bracha will work for you as well.
So it's all open wine. Because I know the Chabad has a minhag to put the cork back in the bottle so that the bottle, because if it's open, mm-hmm. then there's kiddush on that, and then you have to...
Oh, yeah, but I think it's all... I'm not sure.
That's the basis for the minhag. Uh-huh. I know. I've had sutas with people from Chabad, and they...
Oh, yeah? Oh, I don't know anything about that. Okay. Uh-huh.
But that's taka the halakha. You don't really have to?
No, you don't need to have to. You don't. Do not need
is
to.
I've also just seen people also, especially for their wives or the people to drink dafka from the kosher bracha.
Right. Yeah, there is an inyan mitzvah segula to have a kosher bracha. That's a kind of the kosher bracha. The Gemara, the Gemara talks about sending a kosher bracha to Sari Menu that she should have. So there's an inyan of segula. That's a whole other point. Now, after chasna, well, I was at a wedding last week, so I had one of the brachas. So afterwards, you don't want to go back to your seat, so you just stand up nearby. So after all the brachas under the chuppah, the caterer says to a bunch of brachas, you guys want to get married? Here, drink some kosher bracha. Say bracha, and this is a segul. That's another concept. But mitzad halacha, you don't have to drink from the kosher bracha.
Did you pour off from the coast that you said the bracha to another cup and out to everybody else?
So what should you do? What's the best? Should you first pour out first and then drink it? Or drink it and then pour it to everyone else? So take a look what the Mishnah Berurah, you don't have in front of you. The Mishnah Berurah writes, She'az tarach lishpoch, you need to pour out my wine to all of yours. That's kodem sh'yisha mevarach, before I drink. Because if I drink it, it's now pogum, and now my pogum can't make your wine unpogumed. So it has to be first pour out and then drink. So in my house, we have one of those
fountains.
There you go, fountains. So I beg your bracha, so I'll first pour it in, and as it's like coming out, I'll drink. That's what I'll do. That's the order. So
That's a good way to have your children drink before you, because the little ones, they just
So I use wine though, so they don't drink from the cup. So they have their own grape juice. They have their own grape juice thing. I have my own wine thing. Fine, but that's for other guests.
But if it was actually out of the actual cup, if you passed it around, it wouldn't be pogum, even though you drank from
it. Excellent, very good.
Because it's from the kosher bracha, right?
Exactly, very good, excellent. If I drink from it directly, and then you drink from that same exact cup, excellent, David, that would not be considered pogum. That's the kosher bracha. So that's halacha 2. Let's move now to halacha 3. So those are the first two halachas. Halacha 1 discussed about the others can drink before I drink, but out there, they probably shouldn't. Number 2 is that you don't have to have from my cup to drink. You could drink from your own cups. Mitzvah halacha. There might be an Indian of school. We're not discussing that now. Third question is speaking. Now, this does come up, hopefully in none of our homes, but it does come up sometimes marrying to certain families or people's houses who don't know the halacha. If, let's say, the person who says the bracha speaks before drinking, speaks before eating, or let's say you spoke, or someone else spoke before you drank. So let's say I said the bracha, I said, Boy Piragoff, and I drank, and you're waiting for my, and then you spoke. Now, do you have to say new bracha? Or no, since I said a bracha and I drank, the bracha was good, it was in this world, and you could drink even though you spoke. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Samech Zayin that a person obviously should eat right away and drink right away after he says a bracha. There should be no interruptions unless it's something necessary. Examples, you need the salt, or this is an important example, you need to feed the animals. A side point just for a second, it came up in the chat the other day. Someone had asked, are you allowed to feed your fish on Shabbos? That was a question. Can you feed the fish on Shabbos? So I said to him, you have to feed your fish on Shabbos. There's a requirement. What was his question? Because it's a shayla on Shabbos. You're not allowed to feed animals that are not your animals. You can't feed animals outside the house on Shabbos. That's not allowed. Like, how could you shake out your tablecloth and all the crumbs? Because your intention is not to feed them. Your intention is to just get rid of the crumbs. And the mevela, they're going to eat from it.
You
can shake off your tablecloth if your intention is to just clean the tablecloth. Your intention is not to feed animals. So for your own animals, you have to feed them. Now the fish are going to die otherwise. Your dog's going to die. Your cat's going to die if you don't feed them. You have to feed them. There's no question. There's a mitzvah deraisa. They have to feed them. In fact, the Gemara says here first that you're allowed to interrupt. The Shulchan Aruch writes, based on the Gemara in Brachos, I think Daf Samech, that if you said a bracha motzi and you realize you didn't feed your fish yet or your dog yet, you have to interrupt to feed them before you feed yourself. There's a mitzvah deraisa to do that, to feed them first. Now, if they're self-sufficient, it's another story. But if it's time for them to eat, you have a requirement. It's usher to eat before they eat. Fine. So now we have, you can't interrupt between the bracha and the eating. So then the Rama writes, it's only true if the botseya, who's the mevarech, if I am interrupting between my bracha and my eating, but if, let's say, I ate, and then I spoke before you guys ate, right? So I cut the challah, I took the first piece, I swallowed ideally a kazayas, and you're all waiting for your bread. Am I allowed to talk and say, hey Reuven, hey Shimon, you didn't eat yours yet?
Right.
Does my eating, does it break up my bracha to work for you? And the Rama writes, achar kach lav esicha hefsek, after I've eaten, it's not hefsek, af al pi, shadayin lo achlu lachem hamasubim, even though you haven't eaten yet, I am allowed to talk if I ate first. So I said the bracha, I ate, I spoke, it still works for you even though you have not yet eaten. Because kvar yatsu kulam b'achilas botze, by me eating, bracha and eating, it works for all of you. And you don't need to, that's the din. Okay. So now the Mishnah Berurah writes, let's say you spoke before you ate. I said the bracha, I ate, and I spoke. Now you begin to speak before you get the challah. Are you? Is that a problem? Says the Mishnah Berurah, afilo hesichu achar kach hashomim, v'yotim b'birch haso kol m'shitamu, even if the other people at my table had started speaking before they ate, gam kein ein kpeda, there's no problem, b'dievet. Certainly l'chachila they shouldn't, but b'dievet if they did, hol the kfar chalo b'birch hasa mevarach. It says my bracha already came into this world. I said the bracha, I ate my bread, that bracha exists in the world. You could tap into that bracha even though you've spoken already.
Really?
That's what Mishnah Berurah says, b'dievet. Not l'chachila, but b'dievet, if a guy spoke, don't make your children make another bracha. That's what Mishnah Berurah writes. However, l'chachila, v'adi asr l'chol echad me'ashomim l'hapsik kodim shi'itom, certainly it's asr for anyone to do this, l'chachila.
Oh.
But then he writes,
b'dievet,
b'dievet, say it again.
This is not working,
mevarach. Mevarach cannot speak before he eats. I must eat before I speak.
So what if you do?
If I do speak, then bracha doesn't work.
Does that mean you have to make another one?
Yep.
Both? The Tiel Shadayim and the Motzi? Or just the Motzi? Or
the question, Tiel Shadayim is another question. But forget the Tiel Shadayim.
What did you say? You said, please pass me the salt. It's okay.
Right. Something that you can't, shouldn't be saying, right.
But otherwise you'd have to say Motzi again?
Yeah. So now listen to this. The Mishnah Berurah adds, however, Kimat kol achronim chalken, I love it. Almost every single achron argues on this opinion and says, the listener is no better than the one saying the bracha and the mevarach. Meaning what? If I'm the mevarach and I speak before eating, just like I need to say new bracha, so too if you speak before you eat, even though I ate already. I said the bracha, I ate, and then you spoke before you ate, you actually do have to say a new bracha. And one should also be aware, everyone has to say new bracha in the end, exactly.
If they speak.
If they speak. Before they eat. Now let's say this case. Let's say imam mevarach sach kodim shetam. This happens. People don't know the halacha sometimes. So the guy says a bracha, and he speaks before eating it. So now, if I spoke before eating it, it doesn't work for me. What does that mean for you guys around the table? So the halacha is, af hashomim lo sachu klal. You guys were sitting very carefully, paying attention, didn't speak at all. Post can say, the shuv einim yotzim be'abracha, that they are not yotzi the bracha either. If I, as a mevarich, speak before I eat, the bracha is broken. It doesn't work for anybody. Everybody has to say their own bracha. And for this reason, probably, someone recently told me, I don't remember who this is, someone told me that their practice from their father and grandfather was to say their own hamotzi at the table. Meaning the Baal Bayis says the bracha, hamotzi, and each person, when they get their piece of bread, they say their own hamotzi.
But don't you need two breads?
Yeah,
one?
I'm not sure how that works exactly, but it could be there was a certain practice. My guess is there's probably a practice in the family. Oh yeah, could be a Chabadnik was telling me, I don't know. So it could be there could be a different number of different reasons for this. I'll suggest the one that's based on this sugya. If you're in a family where, let's say, the person saying the bracha doesn't say the bracha properly, doesn't know how to say Hashem's name. Oftentimes, Hashem's name is a hard word to say. It is. People in the shul daven for the Amma, they don't know how to say the word Hashem properly. So you hear the bracha and they don't say Hashem's name properly. It's not a good bracha. Or it could be a situation where he doesn't know the halacha and he speaks before he eats the food.
Commonly, yeah.
So if that happens, that might have been the practice in that family. Other Kabbalah might have a different reason, I don't know. That could be a reason why a family has an inyan that each person says their own bracha. This one not to embarrass anyone. This is our practice. You say your own hamotzi. How you get around the problem is she'alechem, I'm not sure, but that's a practice. But certainly it's best, Berov Am Hajish Melech, for everyone to be yotze with one bracha, with one she'alechem, with one lechem mishnah. That's certainly ideal.
Do you have to eat before you cut it up for everybody else? Is that an interruption? When you cut one, do you have to eat that right away? Or could you take your time and cut up for the whole table and then eat?
I think the
interruption?
I believe the proper thing is for you to eat first.
And then
exactly. Like what I do in my house, again, is I cut for myself and my wife. We eat, and then I do the remaining cutting. If you were to do the other way around, that would be also fine. It's still part of the botzei. It's still part of the process. You, in theory, can cut. That's not considered hefsek. But again, ideally, you should cut for yourself and eat first.
Limit?
No, as long as it's as right, as long
have a lot of people.
You know, as long as it's part of the bracha, as long as you're doing the whole mice, it's all considered part of it. Now, one final question. I didn't look this up, but I recall that there is a discussion. What's considered swallowing? How much you have to swallow to allow yourself to eat? So from what I recall, ideally a person should have a kazayis. You shouldn't interrupt until you've had a kazayis. What's a kazayis? Okay, you're not talking about matzah and Pesach, right? But whatever be, some seichel, whatever kazayis is, whatever that shear that might be. If not that, at least to swallow something. I believe there's a chasam sofer that says b'di'evit, a person started to chew and you tasted it, that's sufficient for the bracha to be chal. That's not ideal, but certainly a person should swallow something. If not a kazayis, at least a little bit something. Again, worst case scenario, if the guy put the food in his mouth and started to chew it and taste it, that b'di'evit works as a bracha. Even though he started to speak afterwards, the bracha is going to be chal. Okay.
No problem by wine.